leadership of the singing this morning. Joe, you did a great job in reading the scriptures as usual, and we appreciate Glenn's good prayer today. And today we're studying about Moses, and hope you've had a good week. I had a good week last Thursday night. Got to go over and witness the wedding of Josh and Sarah, and we're just delighted they're here today. And now Mr. and Mrs. Johnson would have a wonderful life ahead of them, we hope. Continue to bless and try to do all that you can for others. Today we're studying about Moses, and tonight I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we'll be talking about, or at least Britt will be, Aaron. Now we've been talking about different ones in the Bible. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of scriptures, might have hope. When I went to prepare for this sermon, I tell you there is so much material. One of the brethren told me, well, you could preach 3 or 4 hours on that, couldn't you? And I believe I could. But we're not going to do that today. I'm going to try to get some of the highlights of this particular man that's spoken of in the Bible and hope that it will be helpful to you. I don't know what he looked like. This is one picture that has suggested he was something like that. But the thing that I want all of us to remember about this man, there are other things, but there's one thing I hope you'll never forget. In the Old Testament, the Bible uses the expression, the man of God. And this is spoken of in, with reference to various ones, but particularly to this man. In the Bible, in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 1, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. These words are the introduction to Moses' last words to Israel. He's called the man of God. Yes, he was a leader, Exodus 5, verse 1. And Moses was a deliverer. He told Pharaoh, let my people go, Exodus 8, verse 1. He was the lawgiver. He went to Mount Sinai to receive the law, which was called after him, the law of Moses. He wrote the first 5 books of the Old Testament. Moses was the prophet. He was called to lead the people of God out of Egypt and to convince Pharaoh to let them go. But of everything you can say about Moses, one thing that is certainly complimentary to him from God, nothing is compared to being called the man of God. Now, in the New Testament, there's only one person that's spoken of that I found with reference to being called the man of God, and that was Timothy. We've been studying about Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. The Bible tells us that he's spoken of by Paul, O man of God. But I thought it was real interesting to note also in the New Testament that all of us can be called the man of God. Remember, in given the scriptures in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, there it is, all of us, the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we have that which can make us the man of God or the woman of God. Now, let's take a brief look at some of the things concerning Moses. You'll turn in your Bible to Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But in Acts chapter 7, verses 17 through 43, and Hebrews 11, in verses 23-29, we have a lot said there about this man called Moses. And actually, when we go back and we look at Moses, we find that he actually had a name that was called Drawn Out because Pharaoh's daughter who took him, and he himself was called Moses by her. He was from the tribe of Levi. His father was Amram, Exodus 6, verse 20. Mother, Jochebed, Exodus chapter 6, verse 20. And he had a brother. His name was Aaron, Exodus 4, verse 14. His sister was called Miriam, Exodus 15, verse 20. And his wife was called Zipporah. That's an unusual name. That was her name, Exodus 2, verse 21. He had 2 sons. One of them was Gershom, Exodus 2, verse 22. And Eliezer, Exodus 18, verses 2 through 3. And we don't want to forget about his father-in-law. His name was Jethro, Exodus 18 and verse 2. Something happened when Moses was born. The children of Israel now have been growing and growing. Pharaoh is going to try to do everything he can to stop their growth. First, he puts them into all kinds of slavery, all kinds of hard work. And then, not only is that true, he gives forth the proclamation that all the Hebrew children that were born, the boys, they were to be killed. And this is how Moses came into existence. He was born under these conditions. His mother took him and hid him for 3 months. And then she put him in a ark made out of bulrushes. The Bible says that Pharaoh's daughter walked by there, and where she had gone down to wash by the river, she found him. And Miriam is chosen to get someone to take care of Moses. And God's providence is seen in that she went to Moses' mother and got her to take care of this little boy. I want to pause right here as we begin. There isn't anything greater than to have a mother that loves you and cares for you. What a wonderful thing, though, that Moses had one that was truly dedicated to God. She taught Moses about God. We're going to find why that was so important to this man. And the Bible tells us that in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, that there was a mother and a grandmother of Timothy. And these two women were such a great inspiration to Timothy that they had faith in God, and he therefore had that faith. Moses was taught by his mother, but Moses also was learning all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deed. And you can actually divide his life up into three different sections, 40 years each. He was distressed one day when he saw how the Egyptians were treating his fellow Israelites. And during one such time that he saw an Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews, Moses then was furious, and he rose up and killed the Egyptian. After he killed the Egyptian man, he buried him. The next day, however, two men of the Hebrews were striving together, and he said to one that did the wrong, "Wherefore smitest thou thy brother?" And the man replied, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedest the Egyptian?" And Moses said, "Surely this thing is known." When Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. Moses flees into Midian, where he lives in the desert for 40 years until God calls for him. Now try to get a picture of this boy that was in Pharaoh's castle. He lived with Pharaoh. Now then, he is giving it all up. He's having to leave the castle, and he goes into the desert. So for the first 40 years, he knew what it was like to have whatever you really wanted, because he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But now, the very man is seeking to kill Moses, and he escapes and goes out into the desert. Growing up in Egypt, Acts 7, 20 through 28, 40 years. Shepherd in Midian, Acts 7, 29 through 30, 40 years. Leader of God's people, Acts 7, 30 through 44, 40 years. Look what Moses gave up. Pleasures of sin, treasures of Egypt, money, and anything money could buy. He could have possibly been in line for the throne of Pharaoh. He had prestige and honor for whom he was. He gave it all up. Why? How did he come to that conclusion? He had a mother that taught him about God. He was ready now to suffer affliction with God's people. He cast his lot with a nation of slaves. He then now lived, and he had to live with people who were hard to get along with. People that complained and murmured a lot. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he gave up those things in order to do what? To suffer affliction with the people of God and enjoy the pleasures of God. To be with him. Not the pleasures of this old world. What a great lesson for us, the choices that we have to make. Now we find him after 40 years in the desert. And the Bible says that God hears the cries of the children of Israel. They're under all kinds of hurt. And they're having to live in such a terrible condition. They're crying unto God. God hears them. And God decides he's going to deliver them out of the Egyptian bondage. Where's Moses? He's out in the desert. As a matter of fact, one day in Exodus 3, verse 2, we learn, there was a flame of fire from the midst of a bush, and it was burning, but the bush didn't burn up. Acts 7, verse 30 says, after 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. He was 40 when he left. Now he's 80. Here he finds a bush that's burning. And guess what? He hears the voice of God. He says, take off your sandals or your shoes, for the ground on which you now stand is holy. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. He said, here am I. He said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And he told it, I'm going to use you to deliver my people out of Egypt. You know, he had to do something really hard. The Bible says he had to persuade, first of all, to get them to leave Egypt. Secondly, he's got to persuade Pharaoh to let him go. And what does Moses do? Just like a lot of us. He makes excuse after another one. Who am I that I should do this? Exodus 3, verse 11. When they asked, what is his name they called you? What shall I say? Exodus 3, 13. What if they won't listen to me? Can't you just see him reasoning? Exodus 4, verse 1. Finally, he says, I'm slow of speech and tongue. Exodus 4, verse 10. And the Lord said, after Moses said, O Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Exodus 4, verse 10. What did God say to the man? That God wanted to take the people of God out of Egypt. He said, who made man's mouth? Wasn't that an interesting question? God did. Well, if he made man's mouth, that mouth can serve him the way that he wants. Moses still wanted him to get somebody else. And God said, you have a brother named Aaron that you'll hear about tonight. And he made, therefore, Aaron as a spokesman for this man. Many excuses we make. What does God have to do to get you and I to serve him today? In Exodus 4 and verse 18, I thought this was an interesting point in the Scriptures. He goes back to Jethro. He asks permission from Jethro to leave Midian. 80 years old? A man that is going to ask permission from Jethro. Maybe Jethro said, no, you can't go. No. Jethro said, just go in peace. It's interesting that Moses didn't ask permission from his wife, Zipporah. At least the Scriptures are silent about what he had to say. When Moses exhausted all the excuses, the Lord had one final word, and that is, go. Then Moses took his wife and sons and set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand, Exodus 4 and verse 20. I have to go through these pretty quickly. But here we find in the life of Moses, when he's there in Egypt, that God's going to do something. Plague after plague after plague. 9 plagues are spoken of. Let me just hastily use each one of them. Number one, water turned into blood. Can you imagine the rivers around here, all that water being turned into blood? Moses takes his rod, he strikes all the waters in Egypt, turn all the water into blood. All the fish in the waters are killed. The Egyptians are loath to drink from the river due to stench. They look at streams, rivers, ponds, pools, all turned into blood. But the magicians could do the same. And Pharaoh would not let him go. Frogs. I don't know about you, I think frogs are very interesting. Some people collect frogs. And that is images of frogs. And the Bible says that with these frogs that came up, and I had to stop and think about it with my own bed, how would you like to sleep in a bed with frogs? Folks, I don't know about you. I wouldn't like that at all. These frogs are where? They're in people's houses. They're in the bed chambers. Everywhere. Frogs, frogs, frogs. And Pharaoh begs for him to get rid of the frogs. And he does. But what does Pharaoh do? He won't let them go. Lice or gnats, Exodus 8. God tells Moses to have Aaron stretch out his rod. Strike the dust of the land so that it may become lice throughout the land. And the lice then falls on man and beast. What a terrible plague. And finally, when the magicians could not do it, they tell Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Flies, everywhere flies. The fourth plague was when God released a swarm of flies that came upon all the Egyptians and into their houses. Flies on every. Finally, when Pharaoh promised to let him go, the flies were removed, but he wouldn't do it. You have the pestilence on the livestock, the plague wherein there all the livestock of the Egyptians, their cattle, their horses, their donkeys, their camels, their oxen, their sheep are stricken with the pestilence. And yet, after all of this, Pharaoh still would not let him go. Boils. Why, the Bible says God tells Moses to tell Aaron to take a handful of ashes from a furnace and to scatter it toward all Egypt, which he does. There's boils that comes upon men and beasts. But after they're ceased, he won't let them go. And then there's a hail. There the Bible says God causes heavy hail to rain down on every man and beast that is not brought inside. In addition to the hail, God also causes fire to mingle with the hail. Perhaps lightning. But anyway, the whole land is suffering. But after it was removed, Pharaoh would not let him go. Locusts, everywhere locusts. When Pharaoh would not let Israel go, God causes locusts to swarm the face of the earth so that no man can see the earth. What a judgment, what a power that God has. But once the plague is removed, Pharaoh won't let them go. And here's one, my friend, I think we can really be impressed with, surely. That is darkness. It was so dark in the land of Egypt that they couldn't even see one another. Darkness. But as far as the Israelites, they had lights in their houses. But Pharaoh still would not let them go. Truly now, he's had enough. The Bible says the death of the firstborn. God told Israel what to do, to sprinkle the blood of a blemish-free lamb on their doorposts in order to keep their angel from the death angel from killing their firstborn. At midnight, there was the death Pharaoh's firstborn. The death of all in Egypt who did not have their doorposts with the blood as God had commanded. And now then, after 430 years, God has brought these plagues against this man. against this people. And finally he says, you can go. They wanted to get rid of him now. 430 years had they been in Egypt. Are you in this audience this morning not serving God? What does it take for God to get you completely convinced of your need to be serving Him faithfully? Some people today are stubborn. Some folks are taking chances with their eternal destinies. They miss church services. They dilly in sin. People don't take God seriously. But look what happened to Pharaoh. Israel now is ready to go. There's only one thing, big thing, that stands between them and Egypt. And that is the Red Sea. Fantastic. Wish we had an hour to talk about it. Fantastic, marvelous, spectacular. The part of the Red Sea in Exodus 14, 13 and 14, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. If God is fighting for them, there's nothing that they can't do. Then listen to what God says to Moses. Lift up thy rod, stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the... Can you imagine that? The sea to be divided up. The Red Sea literally parted by dry ground. The Israelites then proceed to cross over the Red Sea onto this dry ground mass. As they were crossing, the Bible says, the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left hand. What an incredible scene. Exodus 14, verse 22. After all the Israelites had crossed over to the other side of the Red Sea, then God tells Moses to stretch out your hand over the sea that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen. At this time, the Egyptian army had entered into the dry land mass that God had provided for the children of Israel. And then Moses stretches out his hand. Guess what happens to the water? It returns to its full depth. What's going to happen to these Egyptians? The Bible says the waters then returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all of the army of the Pharaoh, and not one of them was left standing. Exodus 14 and verse 28. What a tremendous thing. God, in His power, leading the children of Israel through the Red Sea and away from the Egyptian bondage. Given of the Ten Commandments and the law that God gives to him, one thing God wanted to find out, and that was, will Israel keep His law and His commandments? In Exodus 19, 1 through 7, wish we had time to read it all. But look what he says in verse 4. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. You've witnessed that. Surely you ought to know, if only you will obey my voice. Verse 5, if you have obeyed my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth, God said, is mine. And all the people answers. And they said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. Boy, don't you wish we could get people to do that today. All that the Lord has spoken, preacher, you speak it and we'll do it. And they said they'd do it, all these people. And then they're told, don't you come up to the mountain, don't touch it. Whoever touches it, the Bible says, he shall die. And therefore, when Moses goes up into the mountain to receive the commandments from the Lord, he warns the people, don't come near this mountain and touch it, for you will die if you do so. Later, Moses is called to the top of the mountain to receive something from God. He's there for 40 days and 40 nights. here comes a sad story about his brother. The Bible says when Moses comes up to the mountain, he goes up into the mountain to meet God. He's there for 40 days and 40 nights. It's in this meeting God gives him the Ten Commandments written on two tables of stone. Can you imagine the scene? Here is God speaking directly to Moses. Not a one is to touch that mountain. Not even a beast. And Moses received that from God. But guess what happened to the children of Israel? They had seen the miracles that God had performed. The plagues that it brought. They had been led by Moses. And guess what? When he's up there for a while, they tell Aaron, we don't know what happened to that man. Up! Make us a God that we can serve. I wonder what God must have said. Well, he tells us. Friend, he tells us how sad it was for him. Even Moses had to plead with God not to destroy these people who had drifted away from God. And the Bible tells us when he comes down, he's got the two tables of stone. He throws them down when he sees what Aaron has done. Made a calf out of gold. The people are now dancing around that calf. Oh, but Moses caused them to make a decision. 3,000 people were killed that day because they did not believe what God said. Moses goes back and of course he gets to see then what the Bible speaks of where God said, you cannot see my face to Moses, for no man shall see me and live. And God then tells Moses, stand in the cleft of the rock. Listen to it. He will then proceed to pass by Moses, but only showing Moses his back, not his face. Hear the exact words from God himself. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it's come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Moses, in the presence of the eternal God, was able to witness this. If we had time, we'd talk about the instructions God gave to Moses about building the tabernacle, the 12 spies that were sent to the promised land, the work of Joshua with Moses. But you know one thing that Moses did? He made a terrible mistake. God told him in Exodus 17, verse 6, God told him to smite the rock, and he did. And guess what? Water came out of it. In Numbers chapter 28 through 12, the Bible says that God told him to speak to the rock. What's the difference in smoting and speaking? Both are started out with S's. Both are five-letter words. The great punishment for Moses was, you will not go in to the promised land. That's sad. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, God said. But thou shalt not go over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And God buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre in this day. We know he lived. We know his work. But God buried him, and it's not revealed where his sepulchre is this day. Over in the New Testament, yet Michael the archangel, when continuing with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Friend, let me tell you something. Life gets pretty hard for us sometimes. God's hall of fame, the recipients knew how to say, I choose to lose. Moses lost a lot. As far as the world is concerned, when he said that he was going to deliver his children, the children of God. Ah, we have so many things that we need to remember about Moses. But hope we'll always remember that one mistake that we make can really cause us to I wanted to tell you in conclusion about the Bible telling us a story in Luke chapter 16. There was a rich man who just fared sumptuously every day. There was a poor man who would have eaten the crumbs falling from the rich man's table. And the Bible says they both died. And you know where Lazarus went? Into the bosom of Abraham. You know what happened to the rich man? The Bible tells us that the rich man looked up and he saw with his eyes. This is really something I thought. He saw with his eyes, there's Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And the Bible says he speaks to Abraham. And he asked Abraham to send this man now to dip his finger in water and cool his tongue. And the Bible tells us that he was told that can't be done. Have you ever thought for a moment, if when you die and you're going to go to hell, you're going to be lost forever, if you were able to see as this rich man did, see Abraham and Lazarus, and knowing that you're never going to be with them, what a terrible, anguishing thought that would be. And you know why we're to be faithful to God? We want to be like Moses, to have faith in God, to do what God says, do it God's way, and be ready to meet the Lord in that last great day. So much can be said about Moses, but one thing is for sure, he was a man that had great faith. I read a story about the question, do you know the shepherd? The banquet hall was filled to speak on this occasion. There was a renowned orator that had been brought in. After a wonderful meal, he mesmerized the crowd with his voice as he recited poetry and famous selections of speeches. And near the end of the program, he asked the question, does anybody here have any questions or want me to say anything or do anything? There's an old man sitting in the back. And the old man said, yes, recite the 23rd Psalm. And the man said, I'll do it if you, after I do it, will do it. And the old man said, okay. He sat down, and this man who had all kinds of speech power, he got up and he read so effectively Psalms chapter 23. Once it was over, he had read it. The people gave him a thunderous ovation for it. And then he looked to the old man. He said, it's your time now, sir. And the old man got up and he read the 23rd Psalm. He didn't get a hand clap. But every tear, every eye in that building was crying after he got through reading Psalms 23. And the question was asked this speaker, sir, what was the difference? You read it and he read it. And for you, they clapped, but for him, they cried. And he scratched his head. And he said, I knew the words to Psalms chapter 23, but he knew the shepherd. The shepherd that had said, come unto me all you that labor and heavy laden. The Lord said, I'll be with you. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you need to know the shepherd. Won't you obey him and follow after him and do his will? And if you're a child of God and you haven't lived faithfully, ask God to forgive you. And let us pray with you and for you. May God help us to live for Him and always know the Shepherd. If you're subject anyway to the invitation, Won't you come while together we stand and while